You're listening to the OneofUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Okay, so before we start this review, I'm gonna need you to repeat after me. Instead of karaoke, I will go to Seoul National University. Come on, I need you to repeat it. Say after me. Instead of karaoke, I will go to Seoul National University. Raise your fist up high.
I'm going to put you on the delinquent list.
And you will be ruined the rest of your life, at least according to this film.
Pretty much according to the part of the Bible Belt I'm in, I'm already a delinquent, so
This movie was bullshit. Not one Keyblade, not one Pokeball, just not what I was expecting. Fucking lame. Not one hummingbird, might I add, so false advertising.
That is true.
Yeah, there wasn't even a Titan or where was Yusuke?
No Cloud, no Sephiroth, just bunch of bullshit.
Okay, we got our anime reference. There we go. Let's actually be serious.
Well,
it's an anime Japanese.
It is. So all of that was very inappropriate.
Yeah,
and irrelevant.
We're all terrible people.
Yeah.
So
that's funny that you guys were expecting that. I thought I was going to see a Korean drama, and I got what I wanted.
Right? Because what we are talking about today is House of Hummingbird, which is a Korean coming-of-age drama. It takes place in 1994, which I didn't know until a good 45 minutes to the end. And with me, I am Mindy. With me reviewing, we have Hunter.
Oh, hello.
Adrian.
Hello. No anime references for me.
Good job. And Jordan.
So, was I the only one that read the plot synopsis from our screener kit? Guess I'm the true professional here.
I was going into it with an open mind. That's what I was doing.
Fair enough. And it should be noted, this is the feature film debut for writer-director Kim Bora.
Indeed. So, since you seem to be the know-it-all, would you like to go into the synopsis, or are you going to pass it because you didn't go to Seoul National University?
You don't know that I did. Yeah, no, I didn't. But basically, this film is, yes, in 1994 Seoul, Korea. I'll just give my blanket apology for all the names I'm most likely going to fuck up. It follows 14-year-old Eun-hee. Pretty much as she just searches the city for love, any type of love, because home life's a wreck, yo. It is just shit.
That pretty much sums it up. There's lots of hitting and crying, indeed, as is the case in many of these coming-of-age dramas. So, how'd you guys feel about it?
Nope.
Well, I gotta say, I'm not sure if you guys noticed on your screener, but whoever sent it out, I think it was Wellgo USA, they had the genre as action, horror, sci-fi. So I was I didn't watch the trailer, and I do remember reading a little bit of the synopsis and thinking like this sounds interesting. And I was halfway through the movie, I was thinking like, I don't know when the sci-fi is going to come out or horror, but it seems like it'd be kind of inappropriate at this point.
Is this sort of like, is this a Looper thing where, hey, it's mostly still grounded here, but we're going to see some future shit?
Well,
nope. All 1994, all drama, all sad.
Well, see, that's why I was expecting Pokemon and Gundam suits, and you guys were giving me shit for it. God, but
that's not why you were expecting.
That would be Gundam suits.
What are you trying to say?
That would have been a completely different type of story. I'll say, I think this movie's beautiful. I do, and I mean that in so many ways, not just the cinematography, which is mwah, which is very gorgeous, very pretty to look at.
Yeah.
But beautiful in its simplicity, really, because, yes, we're just following around this teenage girl who's just looking for any sort of companionship. Could be romantic, could be, but just really any sort of good to escape what a horrible home life she has. Because we do have these parents that are like, you go to good school, you do everything, and you know they favor one kid over the other. Another kid's a fuck up who's just like, I'm just gonna ditch class. And now, and she and I'm gonna make a presumption based off my own experience. Eun-hee is most likely probably the middle child, and it's just like, well,
no,
I'm just over here.
She's the eldest because she has an older sister. And her older brother is older than that. So I think she is the baby of the family.
Okay. I didn't quite... That wasn't, like, quite explained, or maybe I missed that. Okay, that's on me. But it just kind of seemed that way, where she's just, like, off to the side, like, I'm just here doing my own thing. I'm just... Okay.
Yeah, it's very telling when she went to the clinic to get this lump looked at, and her mom is like, you should go in the morning, and then just goes back to kind of slump on the couch. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
You are a bad mom.
So all of my hilarity, start the review aside, going into this, I didn't watch the trailer or anything. This movie is like, it's like if they took Perks of Being a Wallflower and you put it in a blender with that Simpsons episode Lisa's Substitute. That's essentially what this movie. That's essentially what this movie is.
Okay, I agree with half of that.
And yeah, this movie. So Perks of Being a Wallflower. That's one of my favorite films, maybe ever. I adore it. And your heart just breaks for this girl because admittedly, she does some not great stuff, but she's also, you know, a child, and her parents are setting just the shittiest example for a home life that I've seen in a while. It's almost a King of Staten Island-ish, but it's maddening when you're watching this, and you're like, could you guys, like, try to be decent parents just once? Her brother... There's a scene where involving a medical thing, and I'll just leave at that. That when the scene happens, I went, "Oh, fuck off, dude!" Like I was definitely that black person yelling at my monitors because I'm like, "Why are you guys all so mean to this girl?" But
no, I was yelling at my monitor too because in a movie that's permeated by assholes, the main character's brother. Biggest asshole of all the assholes.
I think it's dad, personally.
Like, oh, okay, fair enough. I mean, it's probably the dad.
Go ahead.
Like son.
I mean, true, but there is that scene where the mom says, you know, how dare you hit your sister in front of your dad, or... Something to that effect. I remember going,
or the scene with the lamp
hit so hard it burst her eardrum.
Yeah, and I went, oh, yeah. So you don't have a problem with him hitting her? It's just the fact that he's doing it in front of. It's like, oh my god! And when you know, like going back to when I was 14, which seems so long ago. Going back to that first,
yeah, yesterday was odd.
You charmer. But going back to, you know, like 14, you know, that's kind of when you're discovering, like, your first, you know, your first crush, your first love, as it were. And seeing how, like, Eun-hee is kind of put in a situation where she likes this guy, and the guy is just really timid and ends up being really terrible. And I will just say, as a dude watching this, it was kind of a bummer because every guy in this movie is either hitting a woman or just being, like, a piece of shit. I thought I was watching, you know, Birds of Prey. But...
Well, the thing about that is that this coming-of-age story takes place in Korea, and in Asian cultures, you know, respect and honor and all that is so high. The thing with the boyfriend, for me, was really heartbreaking because it wasn't that he wasn't interested. It was that she was such a low class that his family was like, you can't be with this delinquent girl, you know, bad seed kind of thing, because it is disrespected. That is a running thing throughout this movie. Isn't, you know, like you said, you did this in front of your father. What does this look like? You know, it's all about appearances and being seen as respectable.
Yeah. And going back to that, Mindy, going back to two points you just brought. One, the boyfriend, I think maybe how I saw it is like another flaw is like maybe he was in a bit too into the relationship, but then there's another part later in the movie where it's like, maybe he's not.
Yeah.
With the brother hitting her, there's an earlier scene where he asks her to do something and she's like, nah, fuck off. And he just goes right up to her in her room and just beats the shit out of her. And then when she, tells the parents that at dinner, it's just like brushed off. It's like, okay, so yeah, you don't have a problem if he's not doing it, if you don't see it, but yeah, once you do see it, okay, yeah, dad of the year, here, come get your shit mug.
Adrian, you've been very quiet.
I mean the way I see it is like there's definitely this this culture that maybe we're not familiar with, or at least that I'm not familiar with. But this just kind of feels like the tragedy of an overworked family. I mean, they all work at this noodle shop that they own, and the mother is so overworked that she has pain patches on to release her tension. The father is, just
an asshole.
Seems like everything's bothering him, and he just, like, even though he wants his kids to succeed and be better off than what he is, he's not doing it in the right way.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the tragedy comes from with this girl, because she's at this point where she needs somebody to tell her that she's
okay.
She's doing good. Like, she's a good student. She's a good girl. And, like, literally, no one is... She can't depend on anybody.
I get what you guys are saying, but all due respect, bump all that. Like, the fact of the matter is, this family, yeah, they're poor and they're overworked, but you would think you would lean on each other more if you guys are going through all that. And yet, they're all so shitty. I don't give any of the members of the family an out for that, especially the dad, because he has this scene with his wife where I went, oh shit, that just got very real very quickly. And that's done in front of her. And I went, wow, like, if you guys are going to have this talk, maybe not have it in front of your teenage daughter whose brain is still forming. And could.
Not just that scene, but the repercussions, not the repercussions, but the aftermath of that is so jarring for her that it's something that, like, you can't really explain it to a kid. Everything is, this should have been called, you're a good Korean student, Charlie Brown, or something along those lines.
Or
it just,
what?
It seemed like the whole
Korean
world was against her.
Or the Korean Basketball Diaries? Who knows?
Oh, that's a good one. I haven't seen that. I like that.
Yeah. I will say, Eun-hee's actress, Park
Ji-hoo.
She is just fantastic.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
She truly, like, brings across that vulnerability, especially in the other only positive relationship she needs to have, which is with her English teacher. Her Chinese teacher and her classmate, who I gotta applaud the movie on this too, where they really do develop that relationship, and they only make the subtle hints that, you know, she is, you know, also at this young age exploring her own sexuality. And what I appreciate this above, say, something stupid and exploitative as Blue is the Warmest Color. Oh yeah, I got my problems with that movie. Is that this is, you know, it's not, you know, outright fetishizing it or just making a big deal out of it. It's just like, maybe this is where she's going, but who knows? But it's like the one stable friendship she even has, you know, or just relationship, honestly.
Well, one of the did you want to add?
I was just gonna say, first off, there's like 20 minutes in Blue's The Warmest Color that's magnificent. I fully agree with you, it's a very exploited movie. But I love the fact that what Jordan said, they really do hint at the relationship, and they kind of dip their toe in, but they give this girl room to grow, which is a message everyone should take away, that, hey, maybe let your kid, you know, explore their sexuality. Don't make them feel like, you know, a piece of shit, which, you know, is not happening at home, clearly. But I think if there's a problem with the movie, and I have a couple, the pacing's a little weird for like the first hour. I was kind of sitting there like,
I would absolutely agree.
Like,
I'm with you. I thought this movie could have been trimmed down a bit.
Yeah, like and I used the King of Staten Island comparison because, like, now first off, I enjoyed this movie way more because, you know, the main character.
I mean, this is a good movie.
Because this is actually a good movie, unlike, you know, shitty Pete Davidson and terrible tattoos. But the first hour is just a little jarring because it feels like it's setting up these pieces, but shit, there's not a lot of smooth transitions between the scenes. It's just like you kind of blink and you're in another scene. It's like, oh, all right, that's a little awkward. Once the teacher comes into the picture, I really thought the film started to gain its focus, and I went, okay, this is where we're going. And there's a couple scenes where she ends up in the hospital that I thought were incredibly well done. The director really has a great eye for, I think Jordan said it earlier, for cinematography. And oh, yeah. I mean, if this is her floor, then I mean, she's only going to grow from here. But that first hour, I would just encourage viewers to, you know, stick with it. Like, I think you're definitely rewarded, especially in the back half, for where it ends up. But the first hour is a little rough.
Yeah,
like, well, one of the things that the director Kim Bora, who also wrote the script, one of the things she was trying to do is she wanted to highlight the modernization of Korea and the consequences that come with trying to change too quickly, and she framed it around the collapse of Seongsu Bridge in 1994.
Yeah,
how did you think that was highlighted in the film? Do you think that it added to the film? Do you think it detracted? Do you think it did anything?
Well, the thing that threw me off is that when I read the synopsis and I included that, you know, this is the year the bridge collapsed, and I did do a little research into finding out, I was like, oh, so, you know, what happened, how this all happened, and yeah, it was that whole issue of modernizing Korea. I expected that to be, like, the event, like, towards the first act that sets off the domino effect of what happens in the movie. But then, you know, it only happens like so far near the end of the movie, but it still honestly does have an effect. It really does. I thought it was done and handled well. It didn't over explain. It didn't bog you down in exposition. It just, I feel like, much like when it happened, it was sudden and you felt the impact, and then you just gotta wonder, well, where do we go from here now?
Adrian, again, in the back of the class, if you don't start talking, I'm going to put you on the delinquent list.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't necessarily disagree with the pacing issue, but I think I would word it different. I feel like the reason that the first half kind of feels so long is because, unfortunately, we are just kind of seeing this girl get beat up, both actually beat up and, like, mentally. But once it gets into... Anytime there's a movie like this, I feel like ultimately the message of the movie or the goal of the movie is to let you know that there is hope. Like, things can change. So in terms of movies like that, I didn't feel like this one was too different from any other kind of like coming of age sad movie that I've seen. But that's not a bad thing. This is still a very well made movie, including the incredible performance by the main actress. She carries this whole film, and I'm not sure. I don't think this is her first role or anything like that, but she's definitely an actress that I would love to see in more things, because she's fan-fucking-tastic in this.
She's done a couple things, not until, like, 2016, though, so it's very small career, but a career.
Yeah.
Anything else? I know Hunter talked a little bit about it, but is there anything you really did not like about this film?
Pacing, mainly, but,
I don't think it had to be 2 hours and 18 minutes.
No.
Yeah, I agree. Like I think, said, it definitely could have been trimmed down.
I think the points of the movie is made probably like an hour and 40 minutes in. And the rest of it is still worth seeing, but I don't know. It definitely could have been cut. There are some points in the film that unfortunately do feel like they're meandering a bit. But there are also moments that kind of fill you with a little bit of wholesomeness, which is what you need throughout this movie, because it is kind of rough. If you're not used to movies that are just going to be upsetting, this one is sad. This is a sad film about a sad
has
girl
there ever been
who almost always looks like she's crying.
Has there ever been a happy upper of a coming-of-age story?
Right.
Fair enough. the only other flaw I would have is that this was just, maybe it was in my imagination, but there wasn't a scene where Eun-hee grabbed a kendo stick and beat the shit out of her brother.
Well, it's not AEW, Jordan. All right, no.
All right, fine.
All right, so let's go into final thoughts. Since you're the one giggling, Hunter, how about you start?
Oh, all right, sure. So I can already tell that there are going to be people who don't like this movie, because they're going to be like, I have to read. I don't like foreign film. Meh, meh, meh. And just know if you're like that, I hate you to my core. For the rest of
younger brother get here?
For the rest of you who actually appreciate film, this is a really good film, and again, a really solid debut. It's not perfect. There are some issues. I'm very happy that the end, and I don't want to spoil it, but the end, it could have come across like that really shitty movie Remember Me, and I was like, oh, thank God it didn't come across like that, because there's a world where it very easily could have been done like that. And this writer is smart enough to not do that, so kudos to you. I'm going to give this 8.3 Broken Lance on an Adulterer out of 10.
And what about you, Jordan?
Wow, what a lovely specific rating.
Thank you.
And I was going to bring up Remember Me. Because, one, I'm still trying to forget that movie.
Lucky.
I just seem to can't. But, two, what the difference between that sort of using an actual world tragedy is that this didn't exploit it as a twist ending.
Exactly.
This actually helped the story organically, and it connected into the journey of Eun-hee, which, yes, a fantastic. A fabulous performance by Park Ji-hoo, who I do hope to see more of, and especially, again, feature film debut of Kim Bora. I hope there is more of her as well. Pacing issues aside, and non-being the shit out of the older brother, I thought this movie was beautiful. Beautiful in its cinematography, its music, but also just its simplicity. It's just... it is a story that I think anyone might be able to relate to. Because again, when we're all young and such and the world don't seem too good, we try and find, you know, the one thing that can seem to connect us to anything good, maybe wholesome. I honestly really enjoyed this movie. I will give it 8 out of 10 yellow backpacks.
And what about you, Adrian?
So like I stated, when it comes to movies like this, the ultimate message usually is hope. And this does get there in more scenes than just one, in more scenes than just the ending. It gives a message of hope. And I really like that. I really like movies like this. But this one is a little more on the rough side. It's not in the sense of... it's not like a Lars von Trier movie or something like that in terms of just... being depressed, but this is just such a nice girl and you don't want to see anything bad happen to her. So when everyone's kind of just dogpiling on her, you feel bad. The good thing about the movie though is that it's carried by its main actress. She does a fantastic performance that I'm not sure if there'll be any kind of awards for anything, whether it's in Korea or over here, but she definitely deserves some kind of recognition for this. It's filmed beautifully. I really like the ambient droning soundtrack that you hear in a lot of movies like this, but I always like it. And like I said, I do like movies like this, and this is another good one. It's just a shame that it's a little too long. Definitely doesn't have to be 2 hours and 18 minutes, and you will feel that. I'd say if it hits streaming services, check it out. If you're into something on... If you want something... slow and kind of sad, but also kind of happy on like a rainy day, and you like foreign films, this is a good one. I would give this... I'm going to give this a low 4 rice cakes out of 5.
Well, I have a confession. I'm not really a fan of coming-of-age films. I know, I'm sorry, they tend to feel to me like, look, everything is bad and we're poor. And it's just like, I don't
want... that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, and it's like, having to, as you said, this one is particularly long. You have to carry that for 2 hours and 18 minutes, and after a while that just bogs down on you and becomes unpleasant. But I will put that aside in order to try and be a more objective viewer in this. One thing I will say, the thing that makes this different than coming-of-age films that, you know, might be more commonly around, is the fact that it is Korean. So here we have a slice of life in a culture and in a society that I know none of us are in. So it's something that automatically makes it more interesting because it's new. On top, I totally agree with you that it does run long. And I will say, you know, Kim Bora wanted to make this about the modernization of Korea and the consequences that come from changing too quickly and using this bridge collapse to do it. And honestly, I think that failed. The bridge collapse doesn't come until about 30 minutes till the end of the movie. And it's kind of jarring in that it has like a title screen of the date, which before that, time was kind of nebulous, and I didn't really realize that time was even passing until some jarring things are like, wait, it's July now? Wait, it's before the summer. It's like, wait, what?
Happy Halloween!
Yeah.
Yeah, and at one point even they had the death of Kim Il-sung, and I'm like, wait, they're in North Korea? What is going on? So I wish that those sorts of things would have been a little smoother and that they would have focused on changing and the evolution of society using this bridge collapse, and or even just showing that in society even without the bridge collapse, but it didn't, and that was a disappointment. I will say the actors are great at portraying who they are. Many of them are terrible people, but they do it. They make you feel like they're asshole people, which was their job. And that is the strongest point of this movie, is the character portrayals and the journeys of these people. I just wish it wasn't as heavy. I wish that the plot in and of itself was smoother and clearer to understand in regards to specifically time frames. So I am going to give it 5 shots of gray doors that linger out of 10.
fair enough. All right, let me try this again. I will absolutely go to karaoke and sing all the goddamn David Bowie.
Damn it, you are a delinquent. We're going to let your mother know.
Whoa.
That's intense. Adrian, you're no longer the delinquent. Scratch your name off the list and put Jordan there.
Oh, I didn't know I was.
Oh, I could have told you that.